Blog Talk Radio.
You know, just play. One of the most beautiful things in life is when a boy finds a girl he loves. And in his mind, some of the things he wants to do for that girl are almost impossible.
Quietly.
You see, girl, I've never been in love before. But God knows, I truly
I know there's a first time for everything. First time I let her in my bed, she got wetter than the perfect storm that we weathering together. And this the first time that I ever considered wedding rings. But first things first, yo, met her at the bar, rolling with three wise men like I followed the star. And there she is, shorty bi-coastal, thick like bifocals, stacked like Tupac vocals, her body so local. Jewel of the Nile, so I'm romancing the stone. The rhythm is in the word to watch her dance.
Good evening. Good, y'all. Anyway, I'm your host with the most. This is Stuffberg. We're at the Clown Time Sports Blog. And this is the Clown Hour. Hold on, I gotta hear something real quick.
See, I used to be a player, and all of this is new to me. And this ain't what I'm used to.
Anyway, as I said before, this is the Clown Hour, and you can find me on the web. It's Clown Server K, by the way. Just www.theclowntimes.net. You can find me on Facebook, Acting the Fool, like I just did just now. Again, it's Clown Server K, but just do a search in the window, just the Clown Times Sports. You'll be able to find me there. This is a special treat tonight because every now and again I have guest contributors on my sports blog. Just either they want to get shit off their chest, and my man here want to get some stuff off his chest about Jay Gruden and his beloved Redskins. He actually posted an interesting blog, actually a good post, regarding his feelings about Jay Gruden, how he feels that he's in over his head. You might want to check that out on my blog. Actually, the title of that rant is Jay Gruden is Overwhelmed. Face it. So it's proven his point. So the author that that just contributed is my man Brian Van. He's my brother-in-law as well. So this is first time on the Clown. So, sir Brian, welcome.
What's going on? I'm glad to be on. I like that intro music. Nice touch.
Hey, you know what? I flip it every now and again. I normally keep old school hip hop on my intro music, so I have it on my Rolodex. I got like probably left 25 files on here that I like to interchange. So this is brand new though, so I just threw the title in there because I'm a big fan of it. So you know, gotta keep it 100, as they say.
Absolutely.
Yes sir. So first of all, before we get into the crying game that's your beloved Redskins, just tell the listeners out there who you are, more about you, and what led you to become a Redskins fan.
Who am I? Well, I'm originally a Washington, D.C. native, born in the nation's capital, so I guess that also leads to why I am a Washington football fan. As you may notice, I refuse to use the name. It's a shame. It's a shame it took me this long to realize what I was saying, but once I realized it, I kind of decided to strike it. So, yeah, Washington football team. But every one of my family has always been a fan. I mean, I have roots in North Carolina, so for the longest time, there wasn't a Carolina Panthers or any other team to really root for. So Washington was it. And, I mean, in my youth, in the early 90s, in the late 80s, it was great. You had the Hogs, you know, you had the Posse. So everything was great. Joe Gibbs was the leader of the squad, so everything was wonderful. But it just seems like this past 15 years or the Snyder era, if that's what you want to call it, hasn't seen some of the best times for my beloved Washington team. But you just maintain hope that that next run of success for your team is right around the corner. So I'm going to remain hopeful, even though, as you could read from my column, I don't believe we necessarily have the head coach to make that happen as of now. So,
I got you. So yeah. I'll get to Jay Gruden and Danny Boy Snyder and like in a quick second. But where to begin, my man? Where to begin? You know, in full disclosure, I had the Redskins in the playoffs. I picked your boys to be at least a wild card team at the beginning of the season to be the playoffs. Of course, I figured that RG3, he had his what's his name? London Fletcher once called him last year, Bob. He had a whole off season to get used to the likes of Deshaun Jackson. I thought that Jackson would have made a huge difference for this offense.
Right.
I noticed that the aforementioned Jay Gruden had a little bit of success in Cincinnati with one Andy Dalton. So I figured that everything would translate, and plus I figured that also that Mike Shanahan and his son have more to do with the dysfunction last year than I originally imagined. So I gave everyone the benefit of the doubt here in the D.C. area, and I thought that RG3 was going to do some things, be the quote-unquote black Jesus that folks here in the upper city last year I thought he would be, right? I mean, seriously,
correct.
Cats on the radio were calling RG3 upon being drafted 2 years ago, black Jesus.
Oh, no. I mean, when I saw the adaptation of the Barack Obama Hope poster with Robert Griffin III's image with the Washington's colors on it instead, I really recognized that we had gone completely over the deep end, that we had lost our minds. We had lost all sense of what it takes to actually become a winning franchise and put all our eggs in one basket of a guy who we have yet to see complete an entire season of football going back to his Baylor days. So,
yes.
I mean, that's what happens when you have a franchise that's just been riddled with poor quarterback play year after year after year. I mean, I've seen memes and stuff on the internet talking about Cleveland Browns and their list of quarterbacks. We have quite the list ourselves. I mean, we have quite the list, and I could throw out some names, but it really would just bring tears to my eyes, so I'll just avoid doing that. But, I mean, we've really become a disillusioned fan base, and I think we've also seen that permeate through the front office with some of the decisions that have been made. But, it's troubling. It's troubling. But to go to your point about your prediction of them making the playoffs,
yes, sir.
I saw NFC West in our schedule, I counted four losses right there. I mean, that was four losses right there. And the fact that when you have a team that has basically mortgaged all of their draft picks that would be of any consequence for the likes of Robert, and you aren't getting any real depth in your offensive line, your defensive line, and the secondary is atrocious. I could not. When I honestly looked at the team, I saw maybe six to eight. An optimistic view would have been an 8-8 season when this season initially started. But now 8 wins, I don't know what I was thinking.
Wow.
So,
I don't know what I'm saying because I picked them to win 9. So, joke's on me, big time. The joke's really on me. But let's just touch on something that you mentioned for a minute. And I guess we could segue into Danny Boy Snyder. You mortgage, you're right. You mortgage years of like picks, first and second round picks. And I think what's occurred. Going in there, or was it the first and second? I forgot.
I believe it was that current year's first, which in essence was a swap with St. Louis.
Right.
But then the next 2 years, it was a they were first round picks, and then there was a second round pick thrown in there. I believe not last season, but the year before. So this upcoming draft will be the first year, barring some kind of catastrophic decision making from Dan Snyder, that we'll have a first round pick, and Lord knows we need it. I mean, Lord knows we absolutely need it because this team is void of impact players on the defensive side of the ball, and that is exactly what this team is so desperately in need of.
Yes, and I agree because I watch y'all here every Sunday. And I think about you. I think about my father, who's a big Washington fan as well. And it just and to see my dad's text at the end of most weeks, at the end of most Sundays, I should say, it's sad because this was once a proud franchise in the 80s and the 70s, you know, with George Allen and everything else. I mean, I remember the heydays. I mean, I'm a guy of a certain age, as you well know, that remember the 80s, not as much as 70s, but, you know, just being a student of history. You know, this is not a mortarbone franchise, is what I'm trying to say. And the way Danny Boy ran to the ground, running into the ground, present tense, it's just sad. But let's go back to the draft, man, speaking of which. You know that you set up for failure when a guy – when an owner comes in, imposes his will, and falls in love with the celebrity of a draft pick, if you will, a celebrity of a player, without obviously doing his homework as he did with RG3. You know, because word on the street was that Shanahan wanted Tannehill. He wanted Tannehill.
Correct.
And wanted to keep his picks. And maybe, and still follow through his plan in the fourth round to select Kirk Cutt as Tannehill's backup. But, you know, as we all know, he being Shanahan didn't have a full allotment of picks to work with. And this was still under the imposed, I think, salary cap restrictions by Roger Goodell, because I think y'all tried to circumvent the cap for an uncapped year.
And, that is correct.
So basically, yes, he got two strikes imposed upon you. And then Danny Boy just up and says, "I want RG3. I want RG3. And I'm picturing his pedo little ass jumping on top of a table, stamping on the table, demanding that he gets his way. Got his way. Look where his team is once again. And it's a damn shame. It's a damn shame that he's doing it to your team. And you can't fire the owner. I mean, you can't go to. Sure, you can't go to his games. You can choose not to go to his games. That'll never happen because it's the NFL." And you got
quarter
fans here. So, barring Christ coming back, what can be done to put some sense into Danny Boy Snyder's head? It's to stay in the hell of the way.
I really think it's really going to take some soul searching. And the only thing that I liken it to is when I take a look at, unfortunately, the hated rival of the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, year after year after year, you had Jerry Jones searching for the star to match the star. Like, he needed a star to put the helmet of the star on their head. And he would go after these players, these flash-in-the-pan type players, these high-priced guys that you knew the name recognition, you knew who they were, but it didn't amount to much as far as wins. I mean, as far as playoff productivity, it's well chronicled because ESPN loves talking about the Dallas Cowboys and their lack of a playoff run. So we all understand what that has been. But it really has taken Jerry Jones' son stepping in and saying, look, we need to make some different changes because the way that you wanted to do it is not working. And in all honesty, he took a look at those early mid-90 teams when they had a dominant offensive line. Their offensive line was absolutely punishing, and that is exactly what they're trying to replicate with what they have here. I mean, five first-rounders on their offensive line, there's no other team in the NFL that has five first-round draft picks on their offensive line, and that is why you're seeing the success that DeMarco Murray has had this season. I mean, he is easily going to have 2,000 yards probably by the end of this season. Tony Romo hasn't had to have the burden of winning games on his own because, quite frankly, he can't do it. And as a result of the running game, you're seeing Dez Bryant getting these one-on-one matchups off of the play action and being able to make huge plays downfield. That's the model. That is it. You need to establish the offensive line. which gets you the running game, which protects your quarterback, which allows you to get the ball downfield to a DeSean Jackson, to a Pierre Garçon, to an Andre Roberts. I mean, they have weapons, to a Jordan Reed. The problem is they built – the Washington has this team built from the outside in. They have all mm-hmm. the periphery players on offense. But outside of Trent Williams, they don't have the foundation on the offensive line that's going to keep a quarterback upright long enough to make the play that they need to make. Now, when you look at Colt McCoy and the success that he had last week, a lot of that was by force because they were so far behind so early, they had to push the ball downfield, had to keep making plays downfield. And as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, the Indianapolis Colts defense has struggled. I mean, you saw what your Pittsburgh yeah. Steelers did
yeah,
to Indianapolis Colts secondary. So, I mean, right. a 600-yard passing game, like, that's ridiculous. So, understanding that, Colt McCoy had a very nice game, and I loved what I saw from him there because I really like the way he has developed because he struggled early, and he's really kind of developed and created a niche for himself as a solid number two. But he can't be the answer long-term. But the fact of the matter is when you have Robert back there at quarterback, they do not look like the same team. So what you want to do, if that is your prize jewel, if that's the guy you're going to build your team around, you have to have an offensive line, period.
Right. That's right. That's right. So there you have it. And I see that he's actually, I don't want to turn this too much to the Cowboys podcast, but from seeing what happened in the last Cowboys last draft, it's bearing its fruits, you know. Credit to
yeah.
Stephen Jones, I guess. And too bad Daniel Snyder doesn't have a son or a daughter who's that old to tell him to stay the hell out of the way and stay in your lane. But I guess it is what
yeah.
it is. But, okay, I promise I'll get to Jay Gruden soon because you wrote your call about Gruden and how end up his head he is, but I just want to spend one more minute on RG3 for a minute.
Because
Benny Boy is a lost cause. Let's go to RG3. So with his recent demotion by another coach, because remember he was demoted last year as well by Shanahan,
right.
that this is the last year of RG3 in Washington.
Now, the conversations have been that once Robert was benched, that he's still in the plans long-term for Washington. And a part of me still believes that. I think they tried to objectively look at where they are right now as a team and said, you know what, we're not going to do anything of consequence this season. Let's see if we can retool, make some moves this offseason, draft some players. We have a full draft. We have some money coming off the books because I doubt they're going to re-sign Arakpo after giving him the franchise tag and then him getting hurt out for the season. So that's a little over $11 million coming off the books there. They don't have a ton of money tied up in big long-term contracts, so maybe the ability to make some moves in free agency will be there. But a part of me feels that this was a calculated move to bench him based on the opponent. And here's what I mean by that.
Okay.
Playing the Indianapolis Colts, you have Andrew Luck, the number one pick in the same draft as RG3. Andrew Luck is absolutely on fire right now. He is absolutely putting up ridiculous numbers. He's top three in the league in touchdown passes, and he's just a force to be reckoned with right now. The worst thing you could possibly do is after the game Robert had against San Francisco where he threw for 106 yards, is to follow that up by going against the guy you were in the draft class with who everyone thought, is it going to be Luck? Is it going to be RG3? Who's going to be the better one? And get absolutely destroyed by that guy.
Mm.
That is the last thing you would want to have to happen to your quarterback. So I believe, and this is just, you know, fan theory,
sure,
it's better for him to face a little bit of embarrassment of being benched than to face a broader embarrassment of just getting smoked on the field by that other guy. And I think, honestly, they can have Robert as their long-term solution if they want to keep him there. there's going to have to be some things worked out between him and the head coach and the owner, and some kind of understanding of what the role of each one is, and can we all come together and work together. But I think it's possible. I'm hopeful, because the last thing I want to do is have him go to Philly, Dallas, the Jets, or some other team and just become like an absolute weapon. Because then we just gave away 3 first-round picks and a second for absolutely nothing, and then get burned by that guy. So I absolutely hope he's in the long-term plan. So,
you know, that, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I'm one for stability, you know what I mean? Because, granted, I know, and I don't know Robert, obviously. I just know what I hear and what I read, okay?
Right.
Granted, he wants to work hard. He wants to be the best that he could be. So his work ethic reportedly is there, okay? It's just that I think he actually almost leaned towards the I know, because a bit more about his brand and himself more than he does his success in the NFL, if that makes sense. He's all about marketing with this guy right now. And granted, he's a young guy. You know, he's trying to figure it out. That doesn't make an excuse for him, because, you know, Andrew Luck's a young guy too. Look how well he's doing for himself. He's not, he's not concerned about his brand. You know, I don't see many commercials nationwide outside of Indianapolis. But
sure,
he puts his head down, works hard, humble, very humble young man, and you know he's doing well and good for him. I just wish that Robert would look at this and as a lesson, because one thing about professional sports, it is very humbling, and if you're not careful, your ass may be humbled out of the league, no matter what league it is, whether it's baseball, hockey, football. You name it, basketball, you know, it's very humbling, because you're going against the best players at their positions as well, no matter what round they're drafted in. The fact that they're professional athletes makes them amongst the best of their position. So the thing is I just hope that, and I think he has he being Robert Griffin, has the wherewithal to make it work, that he learns from this and just puts his head down. Stop worrying about what people are saying about him. Stop worrying about having those stupid press conferences where he's talking about where he's throwing other people under the bus other than himself. And just work hard. Just work hard, tune out the noise, and be the badass that he he appeared to be during his rookie year. And everything will take care of itself.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you. I'm not one for one's investment. I know that, you know, I've read some people in the Post. There's this one guy who's actually his last name is Snide as well. It's spelled Snider. I forget his first name, but he, amongst the other folks here, I think Mike Weiss, amongst of course as well, who I really respect as a writer for the Washington Post, are clamoring, if not predicting, that RG3 will be gone next season. And that they don't think it'll work from here. But I think, you know, and I kind of lean toward this side, but just thinking about it, and you said it eloquently, why waste an investment like that? You've given up several picks to get this guy. The last thing you want to do is see your investment turned against you. And trust me, don't you think Jerry Jones is eyeing the situation closely? Because I'll tell you what, Tony Romo, it's in the last lot of years of his career. Not many people realize that, but a bad back is a bad back. And that doesn't last long in the NFL. So don't you think he's looking at the Redskins right now and thinking, what if? Because remember, he's a guy of stars, of the star party himself. So at least now he has a better team around whichever quarterback will lead the squad post Tony Romo. And I'll tell you what, if it's a hot mess now with Washington and RG3, you can imagine the hilarity to see him in a Cowboys uniform.
Exactly.
Just coming back to batter. So that's why I agree with you. I think that you give him at least one more year to find himself, another year in Jay Gruden's system. And I mean, hell, he can't get any worse. But
it really can't.
On that, Exactly. Just focus on that. Focus on getting healthy, and he'll be all right. Speaking of Gruden, let's get to your boy, Jay Gruden.
Yes.
So, basically, you think that, according to your rant, which is a great read, by the way, that he is in over his head, and that he, not to say he doesn't know what the hell he's doing, but he kind of doesn't know what the hell he's doing. So I give the floor to you and say why Jay Gruden is more of the problem than what people lead on.
Okay, here's my issue with Jay Gruden. First of all, let me sandwich this. Let me give him some compliments first. First of all, he did an outstanding job as an offensive coordinator in Cincinnati. I think his ability to take with what Mike Brown as an owner doesn't really like to supply his team with a lot of resources to go out and make things happen as far as personnel. So between Dalton and Green and at times Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, I mean, he was able to really do a lot of things to help that team win some games. But one thing that's not talked about is how dominant of a defense the Bengals have had over the past 3 to 4 years. It has been one of the elite defenses in the league. So I think that has a tremendous amount of responsibility for the success that that team has had. And as a result, when a team does well, coordinators get pecked. Now, when Jay Gruden had his press conference in Washington, D.C., I watched it, you know, intently as any Washington fan would. But when it came to the questions about Robert Griffin III, it looked like there wasn't any place he wanted to be more than just away from those cameras. I mean, the wheels were just spinning out of control. The smoke was coming from his ears. It was just like, why are we talking about this guy? Like, I don't want to be bothered with this. But here's the problem. Washington is this. RG3 is this. Daniel Snyder is this. The nation's capital, the Beltway, I mean, you're there. It's a different environment. It's not Cincinnati.
It is. Yes.
People are passionate about their football team in the nation's capital. The Nationals have had success. It's cool, but people don't really care. The Capitals have had success, made it to the playoffs. It's cool, but people don't really care. They want the football team to be a success. That's where their sports allegiance lies. So I don't think Jay Gruden necessarily understood that part of it. Secondly, I don't think he understood how involved of an owner Dan Snyder was going to be. I think it's easy to say, oh, he'll come down, he'll try to make some decisions, I can handle it, I'm the coach. I don't think he really understood that. I mean, when Shanahan had his issues with RG3 and you could see that he really wanted Kirk Cousins to get play, you could see the conflict there. And Mike Shanahan is a coach with a tremendous reputation, 2 Super Bowl rings, had a lot of wins, and he struggled with it. If Mike Shanahan struggled with it, there was no question in my mind that Jay Gruden was going to struggle with it. When I heard that Gruden was the coach, I thought they were talking about John Gruden. I was like, this is outstanding. Like, this is a guy with some pedigree who can absolutely come in and get the job done. And they were like, no, Jay Gruden. I was like, excuse me? Like, it's not John Gruden? You just went and got some guy who was coaching arena football like 5-6 years ago to be the head coach of this train wreck known as Washington's football team? And you think he's going to come in and fix it? And on top of that, you're going to give him $20 million guaranteed over the course of 5 years to be the head coach of this team? Like, you've got to be kidding me. And I think it's painfully clear when you look at his offense and you look at the personnel that he hasn't been able to match the two. He, like I said in my article, is extremely pass happy. He does not – I mean, you can look at Alfred Morris right now compared to last season and see he's not getting the touches he needs. they're not utilizing him in the important moments like they need to. And the fact that you're struggling so much at quarterback position, that's when you lean on the running back the absolute most. And they will not do it. They absolutely will not do it. And this is the same complaint Bengals fans have had in Cincinnati about Jay Gruden. It was, we have running backs. Why aren't we using them? Why are we letting Andy Dalton throw it 40-some-odd times in this playoff game against this Houston defense year after year after year, who keeps shutting our offense down? He could not make the adaptation, and you're seeing it here clear as day. He is not adapting to the personnel that he has. He thinks he's the smartest person in the room, and usually when the person thinks they're the smartest, they tune other people out who know more than them. He needs to recognize what he has and use it accordingly. Do I think he's going to be a failure as a head coach? I hope not, because he's the head coach of my team. I hope he fixes it. But the fact is, I don't think he knew what he was getting into by jumping in the Beltway game, point blank.
Exactly. So, and I wondered that, too, to your point, because you only have Alfred Morris there. I mean, if there's one thing that Mike Shanahan got right and Kyle Shanahan
absolutely
got right, is that they knew what they had in Alfred Morris from training camp, and they used
absolutely
him. And that's one big reason why they won so many games the first, you
absolutely
know, Robert Griffin's first year. And so it just baffles me. It's a head scratch. It's like, it's kind of like the case of, if something makes too much sense that folks refuse to do it. So, because we go back to the win against Dallas and the win against, albeit a bad Titans team, didn't Alfred Morris crack the 100-yard mark in both those games, or if not pretty damn close to in the Dallas game?
That is correct.
Didn't he have some big plays? And so, especially this should help Robert, though, because if you had not asked Robert to drop back the pass behind a leaky offensive line in terms of pass protection, wouldn't that keep Robert healthier and fresher?
Exactly.
And be able to and to utilize the play action that worked for him so well his rookie season? What? I don't get that. I'm about to sound like Steve Smith. I don't get that. I really do not get that. I mean, why won't Jay Gruden adapt to that and utilize that viable weapon in his backfield?
I think one issue with that was he got excited by the prospect of what his offense would look like with the tools that they had. Like I said earlier,
okay,
they built the team from the outside in. You add a Deshaun Jackson on top of a Pierre Garçon. You go out and get an Andre Roberts from Arizona, who, when that acquisition was made, I thought that was a great move, because he would, in essence, phase out Santana Moss and fill that position as a slot receiver and possibly a special teams guy. And then you have Jordan Reed, who I think is an absolute stud at tight end. Now, when you take that arsenal that you have right there, and then you add what you think you can make RG3 become as a quarterback, you get excited by that. You get excited by the idea of throwing the ball all over the lot, having a couple thousand-yard receivers, having a 4,000-yard quarterback, or even maybe 3,000, or maybe rush 4,000. I mean, he got into video game mode. Like, he literally thought he was playing Madden instead of coaching an actual football team. The fact of the matter is, you can't throw to any of those players downfield because you have gaping holes in the offensive line. They run block relatively well, but they do not pass block worth 2 cents. It might as well be pieces of Swiss cheese up there with numbers on their back, because people can get through at a moment's notice, and it is absolutely ridiculous to put a quarterback in a position where he's basically a target. And then on top of that, you had Robert back there, who still, for some reason, doesn't seem to be whether it's 100% healthy, 100% confident in his rehabilitation, whether he's fearful of becoming hurt again, but he doesn't play with the same tempo that he did in his first year. And I think injuries will do that, getting hit, getting knocked around, getting sidelined, having your knee wrapped around the back of Haloti Ngata, that will kind of change the way you play the game of football. It will change your approach. So right. I think he really had to temper his excitement with the weaponry that he had. It was almost like a kid running down the stairs on Christmas. Like, his eyes got so big, but you can't play with all your toys at once. Like, you got to focus.
Right.
Like, you got to spend some time with a little bit of everything, but he failed to spend time on the offensive line. Like, he focused all his time on receivers and on tight ends and on quarterbacks and different schemes and different route trees and everything like that, but he did not focus on the main thing. You can't throw the ball downfield. You can't stretch a defense. You can't take the lid off of a defense without time for the quarterback to throw the ball. And that's where they are just extremely deficient.
Wow. And that's the thing. So, I mean, I realize that I don't think Danny Boy is going to fire dude after his first season. I think that's kind of silly. But,
yeah, I agree.
But do you think, I mean, this is a lost season, actually, so at this point. So do you think it would take an act of God to get dude to actually utilize the running game and the tight ends to free up more opportunities for Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson and company, or it's just it is what it is?
I believe that the NFL is a copycat league, and I believe divisions are even more of a concentrated group of copycat teams. So I believe that Dallas's shift towards a more of a running game, the Eagles shift to, even though there's a great deal of passing, it's predicated on the run. It's predicated on the read option type of that Oregon up-tempo offense. So the run is what still drives that offense. I think those teams shifting towards the run will force Washington to make that change if they want to be competitive, because and the NFL in general, and especially the NFC East, I mean, you've watched NFC East football a long time. You have to control the lines. You have to control the offensive line, and you have to control the defensive line. That's where your bread is buttered, for lack of a better term. I mean, most of the games I remember growing up, it would be a 13-10 game. I mean, you weren't throwing the ball all over the place. You dominated the offensive line. You dominated the defensive line. You kept people out of the end zone. You ran the ball. You ran the clock. You made plays. You made stops. I understand it's a different NFL. Like, I get that. But the run game is still extremely important, and it's the best weapon they have in Alfred Morris and Roy Helu. The running backs that you have are going to consistently be the best part of this team as long as those guys are there. And once you're able to be more forthright and dominant in that regard, it opens everything else up. So my hope is the light bulb will go off based on the shift of the teams in the division. But only time will tell, so we'll see.
Yeah, well, it is what it is, my man. I mean, you guys are one of the most loyal fan bases in the NFL. And I say next to the Buffalo Bills, you guys are the most loyal fan base in the NFL. That's pretty long suffering. And I just hope that Danny Boy, this next draft when you guys have your full allotment of draft picks, we just step the hell out of the way, Jade Gruden, and maybe George Allen's boy make the decision. Speaking of which, why does he still have a job as general manager? I mean, he's boarding outside of a few players here and there, outside of Alfred Morris and a couple other players. He's boarding crap the last few seasons. So Why is he still employed by the team?
Because as long as Snyder is the owner,
right,
the general manager position is just in title. Like there's no real actual general manager who's actually managing the team. It's Dan Snyder wants to do this, go out and execute it, and your name is just slapped on it as being a move from the general manager. I mean, that's how it's been the entire Snyder term in Washington. That's how it's been. You can take Serrato out and put in an Allen,
yeah,
and think that somehow it's different, but the fact of the matter is it's the same type of team being run. The only thing that I've seen that's been fundamentally different that I have appreciated is going out and signing these players who are past their prime and throwing like a boatload of money at them, because that was beyond frustrating to watch. I mean, Albert Haynesworth one that still gets me.
That's still smart
to this day. I still don't understand that. I mean, we were literally paying for the Albert Haynesworth deal up until last year because that's where the actual fine from the NFL came from for those 2 years was off
right
of that Albert Haynesworth deal. So, I mean, so that has changed. So hopefully he's seen the light in that regard. But as far as a general manager, it's still Snyder. I mean, it's still Snyder, so.
I mean, that and, I mean, I don't want to talk about, and I'm sorry to depress you even more, but I promise you I won't depress you anymore after this. But the Deion Sanders being past his prime, Bruce Smith being past his prime, I'm sure there are many others I forgot, but, you know, it is what it is. But I'll say this one last thing, and I'll get you out of here on this. You've seen what Brian Mitchell had to say on Sports Talk, right, about his beloved team and how he totally went in on everyone in the organization. I can't blame him, and God bless him for doing it. I know he's fed up, and again, Redskins Nation is fed up. But all I can say is what I told my man, who's a friend of mine, who's a Jaguars fan, one of the few Jaguars fans I know, keep hope alive. keep hope alive, brother. It can't get any worse. Trust me, it can't get any worse. I mean, if it ain't 0-16, it can't get any worse than that. So we'll see. But, Brian, thanks a lot, dude. I enjoyed this.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and if you want to go quiet with some beer after this, feel free.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right. Take care, brother.
All right, man. You do the same.
All right. Peace out. That was my man, Brian Van. I almost forgot to mention he's a Morehouse man as well. Poor guy. And poor members of the Washington fan club. I mean, the Redskins have one of the most loyal fan bases in all sports. And they keep getting shitted on by this organization, mainly by Danny Boy Snyder, pulling all the strings. As much as I want to say that I hope that Snyder one day learns a lesson like Jerry Jones started to learn the hard way that his methods doesn't always work, I fear there's going to be more to say in the next couple of seasons until someone has to just pull an intervention. Someone has to get him the hell out of the way. But anyway, that's all I have to say about the Redskins. But thanks a lot for tuning in. This is Scott Perks once again, and you will listen to the Clown Hour. Until next time. 06 9.